Episode of SFP Now. This is our regular Tuesday night news program. We're back and we've got some great news as always. And joining me as always is my good friend Reesa. How you doing, Reesa?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
Okay, well, you know, we've got there's quite a bit of news actually, and that's caught my eye. So I'm just going to sort of like kick off with some an interesting story for Batman fans, and this is basically comic related news. Apparently Dark Knight 3 might not be Frank Miller's final Batman project, according to DC's co-publisher. The writer and artist might return to his abandoned All-Star Batman and Robin project, Jim Lee teases. Dark Knight 3, The Master Race, might not be Frank Miller's final word on Batman, according to DC Entertainment co-publisher Jim Lee. In fact, it might lead to the long-awaited conclusion to the fan-favourite series that's being left unfinished since 2008. Frank is super excited to be working in comics again, Lee told Comic Book Resources about Miller's return to the medium, where he started out. Deakill will be Miller's first comics project. Dark Knight 3 will be Miller's first comics project since 2011's controversial graphic novel Holy Terror, which featured a Batman-like vigilante dealing with Islamic terrorism. Since then, the writer and artist director has remained out of the public eye, with the exception of writing and co-directing last year's Sin City, A Dame to Kill For. Dark Knight 3 is not going to be his last project for DC, and he continued, suggesting instead that Miller might collaborate with me on the conclusion to the All-Star Batman and Robin, The Boy Wonder, the series the two launched together in 2005. He's got a great ending to the story and a really cool final scene that was described to me. And it's just classic, Lee said. So there we go. I'm just wondering why Frank Miller might have avoided the public eye. You know, might it have been that film he directed? The one with the old pulp hero, not the shadow.
The Spirit.
The Spirit. I'm just wondering if that's why he's sort of like kept out of the public eye.
That might have been it. That was unfortunate. I don't actually read that many comics, but when I heard The Spirit was coming out and that he was a pulp character, I actually bought a compendium of The Spirit strips just to see what he was like, and I loved him. And the film was unfortunately subpar. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think the Shadow movie was sort of like better than The Spirit. I think it was quite a lot better than The Spirit, to be honest. But I will agree with you on one thing. Having listened to a few of the audio adventures of The Shadow, I will agree that the movie version with Alec Baldwin had absolutely nothing to do with the original comic book character.
No, in terms of the narrative, they took some stuff from the radio, because Margot Lane was a retcon for the radio adaptation, and then took some other concepts from the books and just sort of mixed and mashed them up, kind of like the McGann 96 Doctor Who movie.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a little bit more supernatural than the actual radio adaptations.
Although the radio, there are some episodes of the radio show that are downright supernatural or genre. You kind of have to know which ones they are.
Yeah, but you know what I'm getting at, as in they really went over the top with the supernatural element of it in the film.
They did.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think they had a hook otherwise.
Mhm. Another bit of interesting news. And this is relevant because we actually had him on the show a few weeks back. Kingsman Kick-Ass and Wanted creator Matt Millar launches global talent search. Award-winning writer and film producer Matt Millar is launching a worldwide talent search for new artists and writers. So budding creators, listen up as the search is on. From 28th of September through to the 30th of November 2015. As Mark explains, there seems to be a real disconnect between genuinely talented and skilled students at schools, colleges and universities getting into the comic book industry. I want to provide a platform to enable these creative people to showcase their talent and, most importantly, to get published and paid. Artists and writers can upload an example of their work on the Millar World website, and a shortlist of 6 writers and skilled and 6 artists will be selected and partnered up. Artist submissions are now being accepted, and writer submissions will be accepted from next week. The selected creators will be allowed to work on specific Millar World characters and paid the Marvel and DC starter rates. The stories will appear in the Millar World annual 2016 comic book, a not-for-profit comic book available in our comic book stores. Millar goes on to say, "Working in comics is the best job in the world. It's what I've wanted to do since I was 5, and it's genuinely a thrill to switch on my computer every morning. If I can help in some small way to get other people started with this special annual every year, it will be an honour. I really couldn't recommend this career more highly." For more information on that, you can go to www.millarworld.tv.
Awesome.
I think that's actually a pretty cool thing. You know, if I was a good enough artist, because I do a bit of art myself, if I was good enough, mm-hmm. I'd actually be going for that sort of
thing. Cool. Yeah, I just appreciate it generally because the era of the spec script of just being able to send something in and maybe getting them to look at it is in whatever medium you create in is over, except for stuff mm-hmm. like this. And
yeah.
It's just real.
Yeah, and Star Trek kind of killed it with Enterprise, I think, because Star Trek actually had it open. You know, had an open submissions policy for a while. I believe you've got a bit of DC news.
Yes, it's been fairly light. It's been uncustomarily light because DC is usually a sieve. But there's a bit of DC news in that fans have been commenting on David Ramsey's new outfit as John Diggle in season 4. He's got a leather jacket and a helmet that makes him kind of look like Magneto. And the reaction to this helmet has been mixed, and mixed enough that David Ramsey has actually addressed it in a TV Guide magazine, the print magazine issue, has actually had a quote from him where Ramsey deals with it. He says about the helmet, "I like it," Ramsey told the magazine. "I know there are a lot of criticism that it looks like Magneto's helmet, but by the time you see Diggle in action, we also get into what the helmet can do. You won't be thinking of the X-Men at all. There's a very cool gun, too. The gun and the helmet, by the way, are Star Labs creations."
Ooh.
So that's kind of cool, that they're maintaining the crossover elements.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I kind of, you know, I don't particularly care. Like I said to you before privately, I'm not really that bothered about a Magneto helmet in Arrow, just as long as the
mm-hmm.
writing's good and it's in keeping with the character. It doesn't really matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, for God's sake, I don't see what people kicking off for. It's a helmet, for Christ's sake.
Yeah,
you know?
I think part of the problem is, though, is because the writing was off in this past season, people are more critical, and I think they would be less critical if the writing had actually been better.
Maybe, but the writing, although the writing was off last season, it wasn't quite as bad as, say, a season of Mutant X.
Oh God, no.
Or some show like that. It was still sort of like good dramatic television, irrespective of the writing being off and irrespective of it not being as solid as the first two seasons. And we also have to remember that it's a similar writing team as in you got writers on Arrow that are also working on The Flash. The talent pool is spread pretty thin, so they've got you kind of have to make allowances for that.
Yeah.
I think. Okay, here's a quick fun one. This is going to be happening on Saturday. It's a bit of Doctor Who news. Slipknot's Corey Taylor is to voice a new Doctor Who villain in the forthcoming episode on Saturday. Slipknot singer Corey Taylor is to lend his substantial voice in order to play a new Doctor Who villain who will appear in the current run of the Doctor Who episodes. The singer's signature scream is to be used for the villainous Fisher King, who we shall get to see and hear in the next Doctor Who story. The Slipknot star shared his excitement at his involvement on Twitter, writing, "You have no idea how hard it's been to keep this awesome secret." I don't think he actually said it like that, but I'm kind of chuffed for him because he's actually been in quite a lot of stuff. He's lent his voice to quite a few things. Even before he joined Slipknot, he was actually doing voice work.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like he's not got some form at it. So, but I'm quite excited for him. I'm hoping he's good. I'm hoping it's actually a good episode and not one of the subpar ones that we had last year.
I'm just happy they're doing a ghost story. I'm up for something that's straight up gothic for once.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't really had straight up gothic for a little bit now.
We've not. Okay, so that's I'm looking forward to seeing that and what happens there. Do you watch Orphan Black?
No, I never took to that one.
I tried to watch it. I watched the first maybe 3-4 episodes, but it was just a little bit too small for me. But apparently I kind of dropped out when it started to get good, I've been told, because it's actually the fact that it's actually going into its fourth season now. Should actually tell you something, but I found it a little bit slow. But apparently, a rookie blue star has joined the series. The Clone Family featured in BBC America's Orphan Black is growing. Joining its ranks is the next series of the show is former rookie blue star Joe Thomas Hines. Hines will play the role of Dizzy, an edgy, self-reliant hacker who doesn't conform to group mentality. Joining the writing team behind the series is Emmy-nominated Mad Men scribe Semi Chalice as a consultant. Chalice and Hines board Orphan Black as the four-season shoot of the Temple Street Productions drama gets underway in Toronto, with Emmy-nominated Tatiana Massey returning in the starring role. The next series will see the characters of Massengini and Fenofests combat a new line of male caster clones as they get ever closer to the truth of who and what they are. Ooh. That sounds proper exciting. But I'm just wondering if it will probably take them about 20 episodes to actually get to that.
It sounds like it did. From what I read,
it does sound pretty exciting. Do you have anything else?
No, that's pretty much it.
Okay, well, I've got two more. One's about a new project that Warner's picked up. It's a sci-fi spec called Hammer Space. It's described as being in the vein of Tron, A Monster Calls, and Space Jam, but without basketball. And this is basically the blurb. Warner Brothers has picked up Hammer Space, a sci-fi spec by relative newcomer Mike Van Wees. Dan Lin is producing. The story is set in motion when a terminally ill teenager, while searching for answers about his missing father, finds a mysterious key that unlocks a portal to an alternate animated dimension, releasing an unexpected and new friend who helps him repair his broken family. It's a film. The film is described as being in the vein of Tron, A Monster Calls, the new J.A. Bayona movie about a boy looking for a monster to help him cope with his mom's terminal illness, and Space Jam, but without basketball. Jonathan Enrich bought the project into the studio from Lin Pictures and will executive produce. Courtney Valente and Rashamind Bavista will oversee for Warner Brothers. Van Wees is a graduate of NYU's Trist School of the Arts and was a reader for DreamWorks and Paramount while writing on the side. He caught a break when his script, Grave Hearts, was a finalist for the prestigious Nickel Fellowship in Screenwriting. And this is his next one, his first studio spec sale. It's all the more impressive since today's movie business environment doesn't really encourage the sale of spec scripts.
I know, I just thought about that.
So, yeah, you know, it sounds like an interesting project. It sounds kind of like a mixture of live action and animation. Which is always cool to see. You know, no matter how many times you see it, it's always cool to see. I mean, I still watch Roger Rabbit whenever it's repeated.
Yeah, that's an awesome one.
And stuff like that. But it sounds like a pretty good solid story. You know, could be something that, you know, both kids and adults can enjoy. And, you know, it's kind of genre as well. So,
yeah.
And the last bit of news I have, you're going to like this one. This one's kind of video game related. But basically, Back to the Future, the game, 30th anniversary edition, it's gotten a new trailer. The game is set to launch next month on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Xbox 360. I didn't even know about this until a moment ago, because I thought the only Back to the Future thing coming out this year was a Lego Dimensions thing. Whereas this is, I think it's actually the republishing the game that was done a couple of years ago, but on new formats. Because it was only on the PC, and it's by the same company that's been doing that Game of Thrones game, and other things. But basically, Back to the Future game 30th anniversary is coming soon to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Xbox 360. To celebrate the upcoming release, developer Telltale Games has unveiled a new trailer that showcases its updated textures and voice work from Biff Tannen's original movie actor Tom Wilson. The anniversary edition also includes in-game access to new content, such as behind-the-scenes video featuring interviews with Wilson, movie trilogy co-writer and producer Bob Gale, members of the development team, and the voice of a young Marty McFly. Taking place 6 months after the events of Back to the Future 3, Back to the Future, the game sees the mysterious return of the DeLorean time machine to Hill Valley. Marty is then tasked with going back to 1931 to recruit a reluctant teenage Emmett Brown in order to save 1985's Doc from an otherwise certain death. Back to the Future, the game 30th anniversary edition will be available digitally worldwide and at retail in Europe on October 16th and in North America on October 30th.
Cool.
Yeah, it is cool. I'm getting that. Because I've been waiting for that for years to come out on a format that I could actually use, you know, play it on. But that's pretty awesome. And that's all I've got, really. Unless you have anything else.
No.
Nope.
Not yet.
Okay, well, unfortunately, that's all we've got. It's all we've got time for. We'd like to thank you for listening to the show. We're going to be back on Friday, actually. As of yet, it's not scheduled. And, you know, basically, I have an interview for you that's coming up with Simeon Aston. He's an artist who's got he's done a creator-owned comic book called Blood and Chrome, which is it's kind of like a cyberpunk comic, which is actually out now. It's been out for a while, so we'll be talking to Simeon Aston about that and a few other comic book related things. And of course, we'll have our usual news roundup on Friday as well. As always, I'd like to thank Reesa for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
And that's about all we have time for, so we'll see you on Friday.